So we are going to pick up in verse 3, and I titled this Lipstick and Heart Surgery for really the last part of this verse, but I believe that God wants to do some things in our hearts, and so with that, I want to emphasize that, look, these, the things that God wants to do in our hearts, sometimes it may come off a little strong, but I want you to know that from the pulpit, I'm just sharing what God wants to share to you to help give you a whole new direction in your life. That this is sometimes what the enemy uses to try to bring condemnation or whatever. I want you to know that this is God speaking, and he's trying to bring life into our lives. Amen? And to bring hope and to bring purpose. And so, but in order to do that, sometimes Jesus has to address things from a different perspective, right? He has to address the reality of that. And the best context I could do was if you're having heart issues and you go to a heart doctor, it's not the heart doctor's fault for the condition of your heart, right? If a heart surgeon comes in and says, "Sir, we've looked over your heart and it looks like we're gonna have to do a triple bypass on your heart." Now, as much as that is bad news, it is good news that they caught it. It's bad news that you're gonna have to go through the pain and the process of it, right? But it's not the doctor's fault. So I'm the doctor, don't get mad at me this morning, okay? All right, I'm just telling you, you need a triple bypass surgery. All right, look at your neighbor and say, "Yay." Okay, so now that we've got that out of the way, let's do this. Now, how many of you know that no one that has fallen prey to a heart attack, a heart situation, it doesn't just all of a sudden happen, right? You don't just live your life and it's like all of a sudden, well, you had a heart attack, it's just, you know, there are those situations where someone may have a bad heart and they were born with that, but that's not the situation I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone that was given a healthy heart. They've lived life. How many know that when a heart attack or something like that happens, there's a process that led up to that? There was something that was happening underneath the surface that you were kind of ignorant of, that you didn't realize, or maybe that you did it intentionally. I want to eat what I want to eat, how I want to eat it, why I want to, where I want to. And it was like all about what you know, you just do what you do. And then that heart attack brings a reality check of, oh, I guess I don't always get to do what I want to do. Right? And so this is the context in which we're getting at in the scriptures this morning, is that, look, the condition of your and my heart this morning, if God was to peel it open and to expose it to us, the condition of our heart didn't just happen. God is not going to open up your heart and it's going to be like, well, that's just the way I made you. The heart is the condition of what you've allowed to happen in your life, what you've ignored and what you've permitted and what you've elevated. Right? And so I want you to understand that the doctor just coming just to tell you the diagnosis of the condition of your heart. And it's okay to hear the diagnosis because now it can be treated, right? And so God is wanting to treat your heart this morning. And so some of that is cutting it open and opening up your chest and then putting whatever needs to be done in there and then sewing it back up. And then as soon as you wake up, they pull you out of the bed and they make you start walking. And that's painful. I mean, if we're honest this morning, no one's like signing up for that after church because it's painful. That process is difficult. And I say all that as we read this, we begin to see where did these Sadducees and Pharisees get where they got? And why do we look at the scriptures and we see that, you know, Jesus came into the world to reestablish the kingdom because they had a perception of what it looked like to serve God. And I think that we all have this perception of what it looks like to serve God. It may look like, well, if I come to church on Sunday and I lift my hands or I sit in the church and I do whatever, or I serve or I give my offerings, we could kind of say, well, that is you as a believer and that is what I'm called to do. But how many of you know that you can do all those things and still have a wrong heart? And we have to be really careful about what we do for God to justify the condition of our hearts, right? And so Jesus is addressing this. And so that means that in order for him to address it, somebody's got to get hurt. Somebody's got to feel the condition and the weight and the responsibility of that heart factor, right? And so this is where we pick up, is Jesus is talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they're telling him about how good they are. They're telling Jesus, no, no, we got this figured out. We are good people. We've got this whole thing about serving God down to the books. Down, if you do this, 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 and this, then you're good. How do you know that? We like lists. When it comes to serving God, if we could serve God with a list, we would all be really good. But how many of you know that we didn't sign up to serve a list? We signed up to serve a king. Amen? And so here, this is what it says. And it says, this is in red, by the way. Pretty important. And it says, and why do you, by the traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? This is God, or Jesus, asking them that question. Why are you violating God's commands? And then he goes on and he says this, for instance, and then he gives them an instance. So like where they were wanting to say, what do you mean? But wait, God, he goes, let me answer for you. Actually, this area is what I'm talking about. You know how God is. He's not like, he doesn't beat around the bush much. He's kind of like, hey, straight to the point. Let me tell you where your heart is. And he goes on and he says this, for instance, God says, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. We'll act like that wasn't in there. Verse 5. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I have given to you. Keep going. Okay. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. He says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. For he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And I'll go ahead and read verse 9 for the heck of it. Their worship is farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. Man. And so where do we start in this? I mean, at the beginning, we see that why do you by tradition violate the direct commandments of God? I think that's a good one. Why do you and I have a tendency to violate what God's word says? Or let me put it another way. Why do you have a tendency to ignore the word of God? It's really what he's saying. And I know for us, that's sometimes kind of hard to hear because none of us would ever think that it's like, I mean, like deliberately trying to ignore God. But what he's saying is you are very capable of doing it. These guys love God and yet they're still violating God's word because how many of y'all like to have a comfortable house, a comfortable life? Well, that's what happens is why you violate and why you ignore God's commands is because you want to stay comfortable. And comfortable is okay for a season. But whenever you turn 65 and you go to the heart doctor, that comfort food that you were eating begins to pay dividends back to you at 65 or 55 or 45 or whatever, right? And so what you violate for the sake of comfort begins to come back and get you later on in life. And so literally, this is a love letter to the Pharisees and the Sadducees from God saying, look, this is what you're doing, and this is how I can help you. Number one, you've got to stop violating and ignoring God's commands. You've got to stop changing them so how it'll fit in your world. How many of you know it? As believers, we can get on social media after this, and we can look on Instagram, and they'll say, Christian, believer. But you go through their feed, and they look like a sinner. Why is that? It's because they're forsaking. I can cuss and I can say whatever I want because I want to let people know how I feel. But you know what you're doing is you're literally letting the world know the condition of your heart. And so many times we violate or we ignore God's word for the sake of our comfort, for the sake of, I just want to let that person know how I really feel about them. And so I think it's really important to begin to look at these and say, okay, what am I in my life violating? What in my life am I ignoring? And as you begin to do that, the important thing is God will highlight something, not for the sake of highlighting it to make you feel bad, but how many of you know that you can't fix what you don't know is broken? You can't air up a tire if you don't know it's flat. You're just driving on it. It's like, thunk, 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 thunk. What is wrong with my vehicle? Well, you have a flat tire, but how many of you know that that means you got to pull over, you got to inspect it, you got to maybe air it up, you may have to take the wheel off, you may have to go get it. A lot of inconvenience happens. And so God is just saying, look, you are going to get the repercussions of violating God's word. And so we see this, and as you begin to realize that, like, what happens when you begin to ignore it? Well, this is the byproduct of it. What you ignore in your heart, you permit in your life. So what you begin to ignore casually begins to get in your life, and it begins to affect, and you begin to hate church, and you begin to hate Christians, and you begin to hate people. Do I have any people haters in the church this morning? Yes, I do, right? We hate people sometimes. And most of us, many of us in here this morning, we hate ourselves. And we hate ourselves because of what we violated, and the violation has permitted something in our lives that caused us to do something we didn't like. So now we hate ourselves. And God is trying to get back to the heart of it. And he's saying, like, if you will stop ignoring what's in the heart, what you're trying to violate, you will look at what's going on in your life instead of blaming everybody else. You'll start looking inwardly. And so God is saying, look, if whatever you ignore in God's word, you allow in your life. This stuff is not, this is not a regulation of things that you cannot and can do. It's not about what you this list of things you've got to live by. This is about a relationship. And when you draw close to God, you don't need to live by the rules. You live by the relationship. And so you hear God's voice and you say, oh, okay, I get that. I understand that. And so you stop violating. How many of you know that I don't walk the streets wondering who I'm going to have an affair with? Why? Because I'm in love with my wife. And because I love my wife, I don't have to worry about violating her because I'm in a relationship with her. And two, she'll kill me. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But you understand what I'm saying, right? Like, what the relationship that you have, if I love her, I won't violate her. I won't ignore her. And this is what we do a lot of times, is we ignore something. And then once you ignore something, then the intentions of what you say, how many of you know you can say a lot of things, but if I tell my wife, I love you, and I write these poems and all these things to her, and she's like, oh, that will last about 5 minutes if my heart isn't lining up with the words that I say. And I think we have lied to ourselves, because we can confess and we can pray and we can do certain things way better than the condition of our heart. I mean, how many of you know you can come to church and you can put your church clothes on, but that doesn't change the condition of your heart? You know, in right now it's hunting season, and we got a bunch of people who are out right now in the woods. They should be in church, but that's all right. Killing deer. I pray that God, they don't get a deer at all, in Jesus' name. I pray that deer climbs the tree, sits next to him. No, I'm kidding. Like, hey, man, how you doing? I'm trying to. But we have all these people in camouflage, right, out in the woods. Do you know what would be weird if all the, do you ever notice when people come out of the woods and they get in their cars and they go start hanging around, they go to the grocery store? It's weird. Like, why are you in camo? Like, there's no woods here, bro. You're not going to hide behind a can of Pepsi. You know, this is what we do, is we tend to do this with God. We camouflage our lives with our words. And we wonder, man, why am I not getting breakthrough in my life? It's because you're camouflaging who you are. Your heart can't ever be seen because you're camouflaging it. How many of you know that camouflage works in the woods, but it doesn't work in the world? Like, when you start walking around the world, it's kind of like obvious, right? And so I think that what we have to do is we have to strip our lives of the camouflage. This is what Jesus is saying. Look, strip your life of the camouflage and allow yourself to be who you really are. Look, if you hate people, start addressing the fact that you hate people. If you hate this one person, start addressing the fact that you hate this one person. If you've made a terrible decision and you feel like you can't get back into the relationship with God, address the situation. But you can't ignore it and expect the heart to change. It's like, be like the doctor coming up and saying, well, we need to do a triple bypass. Actually, I don't think so. I'm just going to go ahead and go. I'm going to act like that didn't happen. And if you die of a heart attack, that's not the doctor's fault. That's yours. And oftentimes we are blaming God for the condition of our heart. And God has been telling us for years, check your heart. You need to go guard your heart. You need to do this. You need to. And we just kind of live life. And it's like when it finally comes down to crumble life, and it's like you're laying on the ground and your wife is standing over and you had to call 911, then you're like, okay, I will. Please don't wait to get to rock bottom before you deal with your heart. Please don't wait till it's too late to deal with your heart. Like, why do you need a good heart when you're dead? And this is what we do. We want to wait until this place of life. And it's like, well, I'll wait. No, there are some of you that should be serving God and you should have been serving God for years, but you have not dealt with your heart. And so you hate life in general just because of you. Because you hate you. But if you will let God get in there, you will start loving you. You'll start loving people. You'll start loving God. And everything will change. But you've got to allow God to go to work on your heart. And let me be the first to tell you, that is not fun. I mean, people are not lining up for heart surgery by choice. But we need to be people who are willing to sign up. God, I want to be right with you. God, I want to have a right heart. I want to be able to love people, God. I want to be able to fulfill the purpose and the destiny of my life. Look, you're never going to say yes to purpose when your heart's wrong. Because you don't care about your purpose. Because you don't care about you. And if you don't care about you, you're sure not going to care about people. Right? Intention. Sometimes we allow intention to, you know, we say something, right? You've ever met those people where you say something and man, it sounded good. Like you gave them this profound thing and they were like, wow, that was impressive. And then you're like, I didn't mean any of that. Right? Or you say, tell somebody, man, I love you. And it's like, you do this, all this, and it's like, nah, I'm just really good at writing. How many of you know that intention will only go as far as the character of your heart? Like in right now, inside of your heart, there is this natural characteristics of who you are as a person. And the weird thing about the heart is really it's in the mind. So if you could picture a heart in the head, that's really what it's at. It's not like really here. But this is the thing is that you will never carry out an intention that you don't have character for. And you can only have character when you address what's in your heart. Right? Now, this is the thing. So when you violate something, when you violate God or when you ignore God, right, you allow impurities in. And those impurities begin to affect your life. Like if you stop drinking filtered tap water and you just start going to the creek and putting it in a cup and like, I just really thirsty, going old school. Like there's impurities in that water. It may look clear and it may look clean, but there's impurities in it and it may feel okay for a little while. It may refresh your palate for a bit. But once those impurities get into your bloodstream, things change. And so oftentimes what I'm saying is it's not about this massive thing in your life that changed your heart. It's oftentimes the small things. The Bible says the small foxes spoil the vine. It's those things that you don't give much attention to. It's that thought process about that one person or about that thing, about the anger that starts to rise up. And instead of just empowering the anger, you need to deal with the anger. Well, why do I get so angry when that person talks to me? It's not their fault. That's a heart issue. We don't like that. We'll go do an altar call right now. Right? That's where it's like, I want to be able to project my heart condition onto you. Instead of being big boys and girls and saying, okay, I'm going to deal with that because that was not of Jesus. That was not right. So I'm going to deal with that emotion. I'm going to deal with that thought. I'm going to deal with that. And then I'm going to address it. And then I may have to have a conversation with somebody, but I can go to them, have a healthy conversation with that person because I've allowed God to do a heart check on me. So when I go to that person, I can do it with purity of heart, right? I can say, okay, like whenever you said this, this really bothered me. I just want to find out where you're coming from. And if their heart is hurt and wrong, they're going to react a certain way, but they have a responsibility to check their heart. That's not yours. Like, I mean, nurses don't walk around the streets checking blood pressure. Just walking up to people in this grocery store, oh, let me check your blood pressure. Like, they do that when the person comes to them. And when Jesus is important and you go to him, he will check your heart. He'll check your blood pressure, say, this blood pressure doesn't, something's wrong here. Something's going on, right? And so what are these impurities that are happening in our lives? What are you letting in that may be getting deeper in than you thought they were? So here he begins to give them all these things that they're saying right. I mean, all these things that sound good. But then he says, no, actually, this is what you're doing. In verse 5 and 6, it says this, but you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, Sarah, I can't help you. Sometimes we justify out of love somebody else's sin. We or somebody else's heart condition, well. And people don't get healthy by justifying somebody else's heart condition. The doctor doesn't say, well, because he loves you and he wants you to live, he deals with the issue. And I think that is so important for us if we really want to become people who can love people. And I want you to know that is your mission. That at the end of the day, God said to go into all the world and not hate people and not criticize them and not degrade them. He said to go into all the world and make disciples. You only can make disciples through love. And so many times we're wondering, like, I mean, like, if you don't love people, that's a major flaw in the heart. Look, I'm not saying that you have to walk beside people all the time and live life with certain people, but what I am saying is, can you love them? I mean, there are people that have hurt me in my life, but I still love them. If I met them walking down the street, I would have a conversation and I would ask them how they're doing and I would be concerned about their soul. I may not be best friends with them, but I'm still concerned about them. And that is a condition of the heart. There are certain people that if I came across, I may have a little bit more trouble with. And you know what? When that happens, guess what I'm going to have to do? That's right. What's going on in here? Like, God, why did I want to feel that way? Why did I respond that way? Why did I think that in my mind? You know, you got to deal with that, right? And so what happens is when you want to do what you want to do, right, then we'll start changing scripture a little bit. Well, I mean, you know, hey, we're going to get married so we can live with each other. So because we know we're going to do this, we can start doing this. That's not what scripture says. And so we start justifying things in our lives, and then all of a sudden the relationship implodes. It's why? It's because you're violating God's word, and God set it up for you to succeed. And so you have to kind of go along with what God's saying. But see, this is what happens is self-focused. When you become self-focused, you forsake what God has to say about anything, right? You forsake it. So a self-focused heart will elevate its own desires over God's will. Because God's will is for you to live and live a life of abundance. But that is in subject to you making sure that God's word is elevated over your own desires. But a self-focused heart will say, I want to get what I want to get, when I want to get it, how I want to get it. And the only way you can do that is out of God's timing. And the only way you can do that is by not allowing his word to be the primary thing in your life, right? You know, words can't make up for what the heart lacks. You can say things all you want. I love God. I love him. He is the number one. Really? Anybody ever said that? God, you were number one. When's the last time that you've done something for him? You go through the list. Not that we serve God in lists, but I can't say I love my wife and then have no actions behind it. Like, she's going to give me the deuces real quick. I mean, you're a really good talker, but, right? That's, thank God, Jesus is way more passionate and patient than my wife would be, right? Yeah, my wife would be like, man, we're going to have a talk, like after church, like go to the office. You know what I'm saying? Like, but thank God that God is patient and he's waiting for our hearts. And he's saying, God, will you come? God is saying, will you come? I want to love you. This is not about me tearing your heart and telling you what you've done wrong and blah, blah, blah. This is about you embracing the love of God and allowing him to do some heart surgery. Look, wipe the lipstick off. Quit saying awesome things and not meaning them. And let God do what he needs to do with the heart. Right? How many of you know that the great temptation is to change God's heart? I mean, God's word instead of our hearts. Anybody ever fall and pray to that? Can I get an amen right here? I'll change God's word instead of changing my heart. That doesn't get us very far, very long. It may get us that one thing that we wanted, but it won't sustain you. It'll actually come back and cause way more damage. I want to read this passage of scripture in Luke chapter 6, and it says this in verse 43. It says, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. So what's the assignment? Check the tree. What's on your tree? What is the fruit in your life? Is it good or is it bad? Because you can't say, man, I am a good person. I really love God, or I really this, but you have no fruit to back that up. Like, if you brought me a bushel of apples that are rotten, I'm going to tell you that tree's bad. Right? But if you bring me a tree, a bushel of apples that are polished and they're beautiful, I'm going to say, keep that tree around. Like, that is a good tree. Right? That's telling me that what's coming from its root system, heart, is being produced out of the very end part of it. The branches, right? And so, like, what's your fruit look like? It's okay to be a fruit inspector, right? We're not fruit judgers, we're fruit inspectors. It's okay to look at our lives and say, okay, I'm gonna inspect the fruit on my tree. Quit looking at everybody else's tree. Look at your own. Check your own tree out. I mean, you look at everybody else, look at those apples. I wish I had. What? No, you need to look at your own tree. Yeah, half the tree may be good, half the tree may be bad. We may need to do some pruning, cutting some things away. I almost wanted to go into a rap right there, but I didn't. You know, no? Oh, man, I'm just feeling it. Complain. All right. Man, I felt it. Woo, I almost did it for you. Next time, we'll save it for next time. So now we get into this the main meat of this part of it, and it says, look, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. How do you know that God is not interested in what you can say really well if your heart's not in him? If your heart has no intentionality of being with him and living life with him. Right? That is so important that we aren't better at saying something than we are internally. How many of you know that a disconnected heart can only produce empty words? A heart that is not connected to God, they're as good as they may sound, they're empty. Like I said earlier, you know when you've met somebody and they talk something and they're like, man, bro, like when next time I see those shoes, I'm buying them for you, bro. I love you so much. And you're like, dude, you're never even gonna look at the store. Like, you know, they're not in that. They're just saying that they're trying to relate and try to have a conversation, but they have zero heart in it. How many of you know that humans are smart? They pick that up. Well, if humans are smart, how much more is God and knowing the intentionality of our heart? And so the point is not to say some amazing things. It's more about your heart being really right. He goes in and says, the worship is farce. In other words, your worship is fake. Heart check. It says, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. See, there's this honor factor, and there's honor. Yeah, we want to honor God with our lips, and but how many of you know that honor is not about what you can say? Honor is about what you do. Honor is the character of your heart. It's who you are deep inside. Like, there are certain people that right now I could get on the phone with and I could call them and I'd say, hey, I need this and this done, or I need you to be able to help me do this, I would, without a blink, know that these people would take care of it. I wouldn't even have to worry. I would be like, I know the character of their heart, that whenever I ask them to do something, because of the relationship, they will do it, and they will do it at the best of their ability. There are other people that I know, if I call them, say, hey, like, I'm going to probably call them 4 or 5 times and check up on them. Hey, did you do, you know, right? Because their heart isn't super vested in it. And how many of you know that things, they don't progress in our lives until our hearts do? Look, you're not going to become more in love with God until your heart first becomes more in love with God. It's not about how many services you come to. You can go to our 9:15, you can go to our 11, and you can make up your own service and go to it. And then you can go to reach groups on Sunday, on Wednesday night, and then you can invite people over for another small group on Friday night. How many of you know that the amount of things that you do don't define your heart? They do not. That's a proper English word. They do not. Donut. It's donuts. I love donuts. And so, like, right, that's what we do, is we tend to be like, well, you know, I mean, I do all these things, but that's not heart. Have you know that we allow our preferences sometimes to override God's voice? Like, I have a preference for certain things, and sometimes those preferences are really powerful. Sometimes I'm like, because I have such a preference, I will push people out of my life or out of my world because of it. And my question is the preferences in your life, are you pushing God out? Do you prefer something so much that you've pushed God out of your life? I mean, you'll let him in when it comes to salvation and when you need something from him, and you'll ask him, but you have a preference and I'm pushing God out of that one. Let's not be people who override God's word for preference. And preference is powerful. Like, there have been times where I've probably climbed a mountain over preference. Said, I will die here. And then 10 years later, I'm like, what did I climb that mountain for? What was that for? It wasn't preference. It was in that moment it was. And I think, how many times have we climbed a hill to die for something that now you wouldn't even give an ounce of your heart to? Right? This scripture in Psalms chapter 19, verse 14, it says this. It says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. What does that say? What is that saying? That's saying that I've gotten to the place now where what I'm thinking in my heart is being expressed in my words. See, meditation of the heart produces real, true, authentic words. I think we need to get to the place where our hearts have been meditating on the goodness and the faithfulness and the constant of who God is. You know, I love the sun. I love the sun because the sun comes up every single morning. You may not see it sometimes. The clouds may cover it, but the sun is going to come up. And I want you to know that just because you can't see God working in something doesn't mean that he's not there. And when you understand that, you're able to say, God, I'm giving you my heart. It's a little cloudy today. It's a little bit cloudier than the meteorologist said it was, because they are always wrong. But I'm going to go ahead and serve you. God, I'm going to go ahead and give you my heart this morning. Because my heart says yes, even though my situation may not. This morning, I want to ask you to stand. And I want to ask you, will you let God go to work on your heart? Like maybe you want to fall back in love with the church. You want to fall back in love with people. You want to be able to love people again. You want to, you know, whatever that is. Maybe you want to be able to love a family member that hurt you. You want to be able to love a coworker that you just can't get along with. How many of you know that when you begin to see things from a different perspective, it helps you love a different way? So I want to ask you this morning, will you let God work on your heart? Maybe it's your spouse. You're at odds with your parent, with your spouse, or you're at odds with your parents, someone that's really close. Take a moment and say, God, I'm going to quit looking at what they do wrong. God, I'm going to go look at myself. I'm going to ask you, Lord, whatever it is, I want you to reveal it. God, I want you to work on me. If that's you this morning, I just want you just to slip your hand up real quick. I just want to know to pray with you this morning. So that's me. Thank you. Hands all over. Father, you see every hand raised. God, and in that, you see every heart condition. God, that right now, I just pray that you would do an examination on their hearts. God, that you would come as a loving doctor saying, this is what we've got to diagnose. This is what we've got to work on. This is where we've got to go to work at. God, I pray that you'd give them the grace and the strength to embrace the process that they're in. God, that you would begin to go to work on their hearts, that they would be able to love people. They would be able to love their family, their friends, their coworkers, those that they come in contact with on a daily basis. God, I thank you for that. We love you, God. Man, this morning, if you've never made Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to commit your life to God. And maybe you've said, man, I've prayed the prayer, but I've never really lived this life for him. I want to recommit my life this morning. I want to commit to living a life for Jesus. I want to live and give my life back over to him. I want to give my heart to God and let him go to work on me. If that's you this morning, if you would, just slip your hand up real quick and you can set it right back down. But you say, thank you for that hand. You say, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Anybody else this morning? I want you just to pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner. God, I believe that you died on a cross for my sins. So I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord and my Savior. God, I ask you to reveal the destiny that you have for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give them a hand this morning.